From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. There's been a lot of discussion about the mining of frack sand in Wisconsin. The sand is going to extract natural gas primarily in the south and western United States. A lot of companies are banking that natural gas is the fuel of the future that will power homes and businesses and give gasoline a run for its money in fueling vehicles. One of those companies is La Crosse-based convenience store chain Quick Trip. The company opened its first compressed natural gas pump in La Crosse last April. By the end of 2013, it should have 30 CNG pumps around the upper Midwest. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis asked Quick Trip Alternative Fuel Superintendent Joel Hirschbeck how soon compressed natural gas will be competitive with gasoline.
Nationwide, compressed natural gas is really reliant on the infrastructure. So as the infrastructure becomes more available, you're going to continue to see OEMs, vehicle manufacturers, continuing to bring new vehicles into the product line that are coming straight off the factory line, natural gas ready, from all the way from the light duty end to the heavy duty tractor trailer and semi end. There are some available now, but it's typically limited models. So as that continues to grow with the infrastructure, it will eventually continue to displace gasoline or diesel.
Why is compressed natural gas the next thing?
It can stand on its own two legs. It's very competitively priced. If you look at our La Crosse locations, it's $1.59 for a gasoline gallon equivalent. So you're saving roughly $2 a gallon when you fill up. You get the same performance on a gasoline gallon equivalent as you would with a gallon of gasoline. That's how we equate it. So you know you're talking apples to apples when you compare the two. It's a domestic fuel source, so it's here in the United States. We're sitting on over 100-year supply of natural gas, and so it's going to be here for the long run. We're aware of it, so the supply is very high right now, which is really maintaining that low price point. It's environmentally friendly. You're reducing greenhouse gases by 25%. You're reducing overall emissions by 90%. So you have that green element that's very favorable right now as the EPA and different organizations continue to push OEMs and vehicle manufacturers to drive those emissions down and improve fuel economy and different things like that. So it fits there. So from that perspective, you know, natural gas doesn't need government subsidies. It doesn't need, you know, assistance to get in. The ROIs and the paybacks and everything really start to pay out on their own.
What is the market share right now for CNG?
For CNG, it's pretty small. I mean, you look at, you know, just take the heavy-duty side of things, the tractor trailer, the big semi-trucks. They go through, they sell about 225,000 to 275,000 trucks a year. About 5,000 vehicles are sold a year right now are natural gas. However, they're seeing that increase year over year for their projections very rapidly. If you look at the global market, there's probably 12 million natural gas vehicles in the world today. We have really right around that 100 to 120,000 vehicles. So, you know, from the United States perspective, we're a small portion of what the CNG and natural gas vehicles are globally. But as, like I said, that infrastructure continues to build, more vehicle models come out, you're going to see this continuing to ramp up.
Where is CNG the most popular in the world right now?
There's a large presence in like Pakistan, Israel. You see it in European countries a lot where the price of gasoline and diesel is extremely high. South America has a lot of natural gas as well. So it's a global commodity. It's a global fuel source right now. You're just really seeing it starting to take shape in the United States pretty heavily.
In my time here, I can remember Quick Trip getting into like the E85 line. Would that be comparable to what we're talking about with CNG today?
I don't think so. E85 is directly tied to the petroleum crude oil. It's a part of that. You're also using a lot of energy to process the corn and different things to create the ethanol that goes into the E85. So there's a high cost in just processing and refining the fuels. Natural gas is coming out of the ground as it is today. It's scrubbed and cleaned a little bit, and then it's put right into the pipeline and distributed throughout the nation. And then we compress it down on site and dispense it into the vehicle. So there's very minimal processing applications to natural gas, which is what really helps keep that price so low as well.
What is most important right now for compressed natural gas. You mentioned the infrastructure being there, but we don't have a lot of vehicles that are ready to accept it either. Is it kind of a chicken and egg thing? Once the infrastructure is there, you'll see more vehicles, do you think?
You know, there's a lot of vehicles that are available today. It's just not, you know, every single model has it. You can buy a Honda Civic dedicated natural gas vehicle today. You could have since 1996. They've been producing those. You can buy conversion kits for light-duty vehicles, pickup trucks, different things like that. And then all the way into the heavy-duty side where they're, you know, producing, there's a couple engines available for that. You buy them new direct with the engines in it. So the options are there for a lot of different organizations to get involved with it. We see a lot of good success coming from fleets. The refuse industry has been in natural gas, you know, for a long time. And quite honestly, natural gas has been a fuel source since the 70s. It's just, you know, really starting to take shape now because the price is so low. It's so attractive with all the supply that's been really founded over the last probably since 2008, 2009.
You know, radio is kind of going through something similar in that, you know, we have things like satellite radio. There's high-definition radio, much like television. And the big question is, are car companies going to embrace the technology and make these more popular, you know, by putting an HD radio or satellite radio in their vehicle? Do you think a similar issue for compressed natural gas?
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the key domestic producers, GM, Ford, and Chrysler, they really didn't have a true factory, what they call, quote-unquote, a factory install option probably 6 months ago. Now all three of those are offering a 2500 series pickup truck or econo van type vehicle, all that you can go to your dealership, you can purchase it brand new, you click that you want the natural gas version of that vehicle, and you'll get it from the factory, full warranty, with natural gas. You know, each equipment manufacturer has their way of doing that, and some do it. You know, the Dodge Ram 2500 comes right off the factory floor, all natural gas, completely ready. You know, Ford, if you decide to go natural gas, they'll put in a gaseous prepped engine. They send it to one of their QVMs, qualified vehicle modifiers. They do the conversion piece of it, and then it's shipped right to your dealership. So it's considered a factory build at that point.
Is it much of a cost difference?
There is a cost difference. Right now, you know, and these are things that are continuing to be driven down. This is part of the technologies advancing, part of the options, and the more vehicles that are coming out with this continue to drive those prices down. But you're looking anywhere from, you know, $8,500 to $10,000 roughly on your increased cost from a standard gasoline vehicle. So,
is a conversion kit very similar?
Conversion kits work very similar, yep. So
Cost-wise,
correct, yeah. Once you have the install and everything done, yeah, you're going to be right around about $10,000.
So how long does it take one to pay off a conversion kit from fuel saving?
Timing is one of those funny things where it's not so much how long it takes, but how many miles you drive. It's all by the mile, obviously, because you put more gallons of gasoline in your car with the more miles you drive. And when you look at it, you're saving about $2 per gallon. So it really depends on, one, the engine type, the type of vehicle, the size of vehicle, and how many miles you drive. If you're driving a big pickup truck that might be getting 12, 13 miles per gallon, obviously you're going to pay that back a lot quicker than if you're in the Honda Civic GX that's, you know, getting 38 miles per gallon. And so you just have to outweigh what type of miles you do, how long you keep that vehicle, and really do the math on it and figure it out for yourself. In most cases, though, with good utilization, you'll get your payback in that vehicle and see some good savings.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest today is Joel Hirschbeck. He is the alternative fuel superintendent for Quick Trip. When we're talking today about Quick Trip's expansion into the compressed natural gas market, what is Quick Trip's goal for expanding into this?
So we see this as an introductory market. We see this as Quick Trip is really taking that first step towards natural gas within our area. There's a few other competitors that are out there, but we're coming from a true retail perspective. Most of our competitors are looking at it from an anchor fleet perspective. So I've now got an anchor fleet. They're going to commit this many trucks. We'll build the station, and then we'll go from there. So the location may not be ideal. It may not be great access for public. It may not be manned 24/7. You know, we're a convenience store, a fuel supplier. You know, we have a brand name. Quick Trip has its own brand that it has to uphold. And we said, if we're going to bring something new to the table, it needs to meet that Quick Trip brand and that quality. And so we said we need to have good fill rates. Some stations, you know, have undersized equipment because the equipment can be expensive. But we've said that we need to be able to have like diesel, like gasoline performance when you're filling up your vehicle. It shouldn't take you any longer. We also believe that our pumps should look exactly the same. We use the same style Gilbarco dispensers that we do at all of our gasoline and diesel locations. We also have it under canopy. It's not off in the back corner on site. It's not off to the side where you can't really get at it or under lit. It's under our full canopy with full truck access by our side diesel. So, again, trying to bring that true retail perspective to it. How would a customer really want to be treated for choosing an alternative fuel and making sure that they're not penalized for going the route of an alternative fuel than a typical diesel gasoline customer would.
Mm-hmm. This week, I think you're announcing an expansion at a store in Sheboygan. Sheboygan's a nice community, but it's not exactly a very highly populated community. How did you determine Sheboygan should get a fueling station?
A lot of our location decisions, since we weren't basing it off of where we would may have a tenant fleet per se, but more so on a functional infrastructure development. So we wanted to say, okay, what are our key market areas? What are our key corridors from a freeway perspective that makes sense for natural gas? And that's really what we've based the majority of our decision-making on, spreading out the locations and building a functional infrastructure. So now if I'm a consumer, I have a natural gas vehicle, I can traverse the three-state area, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa, and I have confidence that Quick Trip's going to have a natural gas station somewhere nearby that I can continue to fuel. So I won't be out there. There won't be that range anxiety of, ooh, am I going to be able to fill up or not fill up? And really, you know, you mentioned that chicken and the egg scenario earlier, but trying to solve half of it at least, making sure that we're holding up our end, that the infrastructure is there. We know that we have vehicles available and vehicles are out there for fleets and different users to purchase and utilize and take advantage of those savings. And so now we've kind of brought two of the key components together and then allowing people to be successful with it.
How far can you go today in America with a CNG vehicle?
There's been case studies and examples. Different trucking organizations have gone from California all the way over to, if it's New York City or Washington, D.C. So, I mean, it's just a matter of planning your route carefully around where those locations are.
And what is the cost savings to doing that?
It's pretty significant. If you look at a heavy-duty truck and trailer, you're going to get roughly that 6 miles per gallon. You imagine the breadth of the country. I mean, you're going to save $2 a gallon, so it's going to add up fast.
What is the fuel economy with CNG compared to regular gasoline?
On the light-duty side, when you're comparing it to gasoline, you have like engines. So you're comparing a spark-ignited engine with gasoline to a spark-ignited engine with natural gas or CNG. And you're going to see very like fuel mileage, if not a little better with compressed natural gas, just because of how we have to dispense it at a specific weight, which may have more BTU content or energy content than a true gallon of gasoline. And so you'll get a little bit more bang for your buck, if you will. On the heavy-duty side, you're comparing a compression engine with diesel versus a spark-ignited engine with natural gas. And so it's not so much that you lose efficiency, but when you compare them apples to apples, it appears you do lose efficiency, but you're just using a lower ratioed spark-ignited engine than you would be with a compression diesel engine.
What is the best fuel economy you can get with a CNG engine?
Light duty is very comparable to what you would get. I mean, like I said, a Honda Civic's going to get 38 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
You'll probably get 38 miles to the gallon with gasoline. Your Dodge pickup truck might get 15 miles to the gallon on gasoline. You'll get 15 miles on CNG as well.
Filling up is very similar.
It is. If you go, you know, really step-by-step through the process, like I said, it's going to be under canopy. It's going to be like experience, same dispenser styles. You're going to go through the same card swipe motions or choose pay inside type options. The only difference really is the connection. Because it's a high-pressure system, you're going to have a positive locking nozzle. So it'll lock on tight. You'll know what's on there. It won't dispense unless it's locked on there. So you have a big advantage there, too, from, you know, incidental fuel spill. You look at the ground underneath a CNG dispenser, and it's completely clean. If you look at the ground near a diesel dispenser, it may be a little dirty. So the little differences like that.
Gas prices, I think, have gone up about 40 cents in the last couple of months. How do CNG prices compare with gasoline as far as volatility?
That's another big advantage to natural gas and compressed natural gas. The price structure is very stable. We opened the La Crosse station back in April of 2012 at $1.599. If you drove by today, you would see the same price of $1.599. So we're coming close to an entire year of not having to change our price. You take that and compare that to what we do with gasoline, and we're changing prices daily. The volatility of the petroleum market and the crude oil market is extremely high. You compare that to the different things that are happening throughout the world that are affecting those prices. You don't have that with natural gas because we have such a strong U.S. Supply here. The other piece that you could look at is with petroleum products like gasoline or diesel, 3/4 of that price is the makeup of the true raw commodity. If you compare that to natural gas, you're looking at about 1/3 of that price is the true raw commodity. So as the commodity moves on that world, the world traded markets, you know, it only takes a small movement in the petroleum world to change what gasoline or diesel show. In the natural gas world, it can move quite a bit, and you're still really not seeing much movement on it.
We're quite a player here in the upper Midwest with what's going on with natural gas, because we produce sand that allows people to, you know, harvest the natural gas in places in the South and out West. You know, we don't have any natural gas reserves in the upper Midwest that I'm aware of. We're not great ones anyway. Does the infrastructure exist so that it's easy for QuikTrip to get supplies of natural gas?
The natural gas supply, I think, is pretty universal. I mean, it's coming through the streets in the pipeline the same way that you would be feeding to your home or business and heating your house. It's that same exact pipeline that we're tapping into. So from where that gas is coming from, I mean, we've got gas is probably coming in from the Dakota area, coming in from Canada, coming in from the Oklahoma area, Texas. And so it's all really based on the interstate pipelines that are feeding this area, and then we're really just tapping into that.
So it's just like I would heat my home with natural gas?
It's exactly the same.
Assuming that we see a expansion in the number of cars or trucks that are able to run on compressed natural gas, what do we expect to happen to the price of natural gas as more people are using it?
If you look at the overall consumption that the transportation market will consume, it's very small compared to what all natural gas users are. When you look at the large business, you look at energy providers, energy creators, you look at the different things that play into natural gas. The transportation piece is very small. And so even though if we, you know, start duplicating tenfold, you know, really start using it a lot, we're still probably not going to affect the price of natural gas as much as some other key industries may through some large changes. You know, and the other piece to that is right now about 1/3 of the drilling operations are in production in the United States for natural gas because the price is so low, and they basically shut them down. As the price of natural gas rises on the world trading commodity, then they'll start turning on more wells and start collecting more natural gas and kind of bring that price down. So I think you're going to see some balancing. It might be some slight ups and downs, but it's going to be extremely stable when you look at it compared to what the petroleum world is doing.
I've heard estimates that QuikTrip will be at 30 CNG filling stations or thereabouts by the end of 2013.
Right now, we've got plans to add 12 more locations for our spring-summer build schedule. We continue to work through what our fall schedule is going to provide us. I think it, you know, we should be in that 20 mark for sure. I think 30 is not too far out of reach by any means. We'll continue to add it in as we can and as we continue to see success and development in natural gas and really focused on that functional infrastructure, like I said. You know, what dots on the map make sense? Where does it fit in? What corridors need to be covered so that, you know, people can get around the three-state area in confidence that natural gas will be there for them?
So what is the potential beyond 2013 with this?
I think we're going to see a lot of opportunities. We'll continue that, I would say, that heavy-duty regional fleet focus, municipality, refuse industry. There's a lot of opportunities in those areas. But then there's going to be that light-duty side that starts to take off, and those, Bob's Plumbing and Jim's Home Heating and companies like that that have vans and trucks and things that they want to convert and get into natural gas. And you'll probably see some communities where we maybe look at doing some smaller solutions that, you know, maybe they aren't, you know, large truck quite size, but it'll be a little bit smaller footprint, maybe a smaller compressors and things like that in some of those other locations, but yet you're serving the needs of a different demographic, if you will.
Joel Hirschbeck is Alternative Fuels Superintendent for Quick Trip. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis talked with him about the company's rapid expansion into the compressed natural gas market. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Steve Reisom, Mary Mann Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.